Hallelujah. And just like the person that called me up said, I'm here with my beautiful wife. Such a fine girl. Such a fine girl. Help me appreciate her. She's shy, but help me appreciate her. I wanted to bring her up to greet everybody, but she said no, she's very shy. But she will still come up in the park. Oh, she should just come up now. She will come up in the panel session. She's begging me seriously. So in the Q&A session, she will. Praise God. But are you excited? I'm so happy for your generation. And one of the major things you have, and I hope you value it, one of the major things you have is time. Come on, say with me, time. Say it like you mean it. Say time. When you are young, the main thing you have is time. And you see, how you use your time will determine how life will be when you no longer have time. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Time is a unique gift that God gives us. But unfortunately, if you are given a gift and you don't know why you are given that gift, the tendency is for you to squander it. And I just want to call your attention this evening to the fact that God has given you a wonderful gift called time. What is your gift? I can't hear you. What is your gift? Say it like you mean it. What is your gift? It's a gift God gave you. There were 10 virgins in the Bible that were given oil, and that oil can be anything, but this evening it's like time. They said the first one squandered their own, and the other ones spread their own wisely. And they were called the 5 wise virgins and the foolish wise virgins. I decree over you this evening, you'll be among the wise ones in the name of Jesus. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read from the NIV translation. So if you have that, you can give that to me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 and a few verses down the line. It says, there is a time for what? I can't hear you. There is a time for what? For everything. There is time for everything. He said, and a season for every what? Activity under heaven. There is a time for everything, but there is a season for every activity. Next verse. He said, a time to be what? Born, and a time to what? Die. He said, a time to plant, and a time to what? Uproot. Next verse. A time to what? Heal, and a time to heal. He said, a time to tear down, and a time to do what? Build. Next verse. He said, a time to what? Weep, and a time to laugh. A time to what? Mourn, and a time to what? The problem with our generation is that because of TikTok now, we want to dance every time. Come on, somebody. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be serious. TikTok has made us dance all the time. Glory to God. He said, there's a time to dance, but it's not every time. Next one says, a time to what? Scatter stones, and a time to do what? Gather them. I like this one. A time to what? Embrace, but there's also a time to what? Refrain from embracing. Next verse. A time to what? Search. For those searching for who to marry, there's a time to search. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Come on, tell your neighbor, there's a time to search. I like the next one. And a time to what? Give up. After many breakfasts, you give up. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There's a time to give up. Because if you are searching at the wrong time, your breakfast is sure. Glory to God. Amen, amen. A time to keep and a time to what? Hey, there are some people we should throw away. Oh, I'm prophetically speaking to somebody here. You are trying to make something work that cannot work. They said there's a time to keep and a time to what? Throw away. He said, a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Next verse. A time to what? Love. Hey. Hey. Are you here this evening? They said it's a time to love. That means it's not every time. It's not every time. There's a time to love and a time to what? Hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next verse. What do workers gain from their toil? He said, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. Next verse. He has made everything what? Beautiful. When? In his time. It won't be beautiful if it's not his time. He has also set eternity in our hearts, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. From that piece of scripture, we see that there are seasons to our life. There's a time for things. And this evening, in the 30 minutes or so I have, I'm going to share about seven things young adults should know about relationships. Seven things young adults should know about relationships. You are at a very critical point of your life. I like this point of your life. You can actually design your life how it will turn out. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You are beauty. This is a beautiful stage of your life. You are at a beautiful stage of your life. And if I had time to tell you seven things as a young adult, these are the things I would tell you. Why am I so passionate about relationships? Why am I so passionate about marriage? One of the reasons is because there is nothing that will impact your life like who you marry. There is nothing that will impact your life like who you fall in love with. One of the biggest decisions you will ever make is your relationship or love or marriage decisions. If you read a wrong course in school, you can register and do another course. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Your parents made you study medicine. When you finish, you find out that you're a YouTuber. So there's no medicine inside you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you study a wrong course, you can study another course. If you buy a wrong car, you can sell it and buy another car. If you rent a wrong house, you can move from there and rent another house. When you marry the wrong person, you are going to be stuck there for a very long time. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So marriage will impact you. Relationships will impact you. Let me tell you something again. One of the things you must learn about the season of life you are in, and it's what most young people don't know, is that the season of life you are in now, from this point, everything you do will impact the rest of your life. I'll say that again. What you're doing now will impact the rest of what? Your life. I wish what you're doing now will only impact now. Then we can easily correct it. But what you're doing now is going to impact the rest of your life. If you don't do well in school, it's going to impact the next school you will go to. It's going to impact the kind of job you will get. The kind of job you get is going to impact the kind of place you will live. It's going to impact the kind of person you will marry. It's going to impact the kind of children you will have. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So seven things I will tell young adults about relationship. Seven things they usually don't know. Number one, young adults ask me, when should I start a relationship? When should I start a relationship? The answer is when I'm ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying? When should I start a relationship? I can't hear you on this side. When should I start a relationship? I want to hear you on this side. When should I start a relationship? Not when I'm lonely. Quiet, are you hearing what I'm saying on this side? I say, not when I am what?
Lonely.
But when I am
ready.
When should I start a relationship? Because listen, as young people, there will be so much pressure because everybody's entering a relationship. When should I start a relationship? When I am
ready.
Not when I'm lonely. Not when I'm lonely. Loneliness is not the absence of affection, it is the absence of direction. Many people think that having a relationship will solve my loneliness problem. If you are lonely now, you will still be lonely in marriage. Because the mistake you are making, you think if you marry somebody, they will spend their whole life entertaining you. They are not Instagram. No human being is designed to make you happy all the time. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So when do I start a relationship? When I am ready. Not when I'm lonely. Not when all my friends have started one. Are you here, somebody? May God strengthen your resolve and strengthen your heart so that you will wait for the right timing of your own life. Don't do it because other people are doing it. There are too many people in a relationship now. The only reason they are in a relationship is because everybody around them is in a relationship. So if everybody around you is in prison, you will go to prison. Stop doing things for everybody. Do it because it pleases God and it serves the purpose of your life. Let me tell you, one of the biggest things you must learn in this life is that life is custom made. Do you understand? Only you came. Now only you waka come. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You came alone. There is so, everything about your life is so unique. That's why you were born alone. When you die, you will also die alone and stand before God alone. There's no group defense. You don't defense group projects in heaven. Are you here, somebody? Not because I don't enter a relationship because everybody is in one. It doesn't matter. Because all my friends are in one. When I was young and a young minister, I was a teenager or just around that age, 20, 21, almost all my friends were in relationship. They were in high institution, then university. But I made up my mind. I wasn't going to enter a relationship just because people were in relationship. Listen, everything you do now is affecting you. If you enter a relationship for the wrong reason, you have most likely entered with the wrong person. I'll say that again. I say if you enter a relationship for the wrong reason, you have most likely entered with what?
The wrong person.
And everything you do now affects you. The experience you are having with that person you are with in that relationship is affecting who you are. When both of you don't go anywhere with the relationship and you enter another one, you will be punishing your next for the crimes of your ex. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You will be punishing your next for the crimes of your ex. Some people fighting now, it's not even you they are fighting, they are fighting somebody that offended them before. Because every experience you are having is making an impression in your heart. It's making an impression in your image of relationships. When should I start a relationship? When I'm ready. Not when I'm lonely. Not when all my friends have started a relationship. Not when I am old or old enough. It's not age that determines your readiness. It is maturity. Aging is growing old, maturity is growing up. Did somebody get that? I say aging is growing old, but maturity is growing up. You can be young for a season, but you can be immature forever. So we have seen some people that are mature at 25. We have seen some people at 45 that are still immature. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I've seen 45-year-old men that can't make any decision until they ask mommy. I have to ask my mother. 45-year-old man with beard. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So when do I start a relationship? Not when I'm lonely. Not when all my friends have started. Not when I'm old enough. No. It's when I am
ready.
Number two. Second thing I will tell young adults about relationship. For those of you that want to know more about when you are ready, I have a book. We brought the book here. It's titled, When Am I Ready? So I dealt with the ways you know if you are ready for a relationship. So please pick up the book. It will be a blessing to you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? What did you say? When you reach there, you find out how much. I'm not a bookseller. I'm just it will be in the stand somewhere. Find the book, get it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I broke it down there, how to know when you are ready for a relationship. So number two, second thing, I will tell young people. Whom should I be in a relationship with? The answer is, who fits me? Who should I be in a relationship with? Who fits me? Not who is available. Hey, I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. You don't start a relationship with who is available. You start a relationship with who fits you. You don't start a relationship with who is asking you. Say, he's disturbing me. That's not a reason to start a relationship. Who do I start a relationship with? Who fits me? The reason why that is important, the Bible says, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It's not everybody you can get along with. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's not everybody you can what? Get along with. You and some people will never be able to get along. Two can't work together except they be agreed. And there are many areas of compatibility to check. One of it is spiritual. The Bible is clear. It says you cannot be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. So if the person is not born again like you are born again, then two of you can't go together. Don't say he's nice or she's nice. Nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. Are you here, somebody? Two cannot work together except they be what? Agree. It's not everyone that works well for you and with you. It's not everyone. If he's not born, listen. Let me tell you something, young people, listen. When you want to start a relationship or marriage, your eyes, when they say love is blind, it is very true. Because you are blinded by excitement. You are saying, I can't wait to marry. I will die without you. Anytime I see your call, my breathing is no more stable. It is asthma that is doing you. It is asthma. Are you here, somebody? That excitement, it will vanish after you arrive your destination. You will now be stuck with the reality of the behavior of that person. Two can't work together except they agree. So, are you on the same wavelength spiritually? Are they born again? If you are born again, please make sure you marry another born again Christian. See, a born again Christian is not just somebody that goes to church. That's not what we're talking about. A church is like a hospital. Everybody comes to a church. Some are responding to treatment. And some are not responding to treatment. So just because you met him in church or met her in church doesn't mean you can marry him or her. Are you compatible spiritually? Is it born again? Who fits you? Then also check their behavior, their character. What's their character like? When you are young, you are more interested in their hairstyle. As you grow old, you'll be interested in their lifestyle. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When you come to a young people meeting like this, everybody has a fancy hairstyle. He said, I just like his hairstyle. It's not his hairstyle you will live with, it's his lifestyle. Are you compatible? Who should I start a relationship with? I can't hear you. Who should I start a relationship with? Who fits you? Who fits the destination of your life? You see, part of what makes you ready is that you have an idea of where you are going with your life. Once you know your purpose, you become a part of what makes you ready. And as you're about to choose, you are looking for somebody that will nurture that purpose inside you. Somebody that values what you value. My wife is the only and the first person I've ever dated in my life. And trust me, I saw there were many options along the way, but I knew where I was going. So I knew that I had to find somebody that was going the same direction. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Interestingly, she was in a relationship before we met. Those of you that know us, you've heard this story many times. And the person was born again. Then one day God was telling her that this is not your husband. And she was crying and she was saying, we've been together for some time and the guy did not offend me. And God told my wife, he said, call him, ask him that if I call you to do ministry, would he be okay with it? Ah, my wife said, that's a simple question. He's a Christian. He'll be okay with it. And they called on the phone. And my wife asked him that if God calls me to ministry, to be a minister, to be a pastor, will you be okay with it? He said, no. My wife said, maybe you didn't hear me well. She repeated the question. He said, no, that he doesn't want to marry a pastor. When you are young like this, you are interested in the fun. But as time goes on, you need to discover yourself. You need to express yourself. And you want to marry somebody that doesn't believe or support that person inside you. Do they value what you value? Do they value your passion? Do they value your desires to serve the Lord? Two can't work together except they be what? Agreed. It's not everybody that fits you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who do you start a relationship with? Who fits me? Not who is available. Not who is asking me. Not who they even recommend for me. Because at the end of the day, it's God and you that knows who agrees with you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Number three. What was number one again? When do I start a relationship? Number two is what? Whom should I start a relationship with? What's the answer? Number three. When should I start learning about relationships? The answer is what? Now. Start learning when? Don't start learning when you have a relationship. Don't start learning when you marry. You start learning when? Now. If you're a young person, one of the books and videos you must make out time to watch or read are relationship books and videos. Because marriage or relationship is a major part of your life. It will affect your happiness. When should I start learning about relationships? Now. Not when I fall in love. What is even love? If you don't know what love is, how do you know you fell in love? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Do you know many people think love is the feeling of excitement that you have? Love is not excitement. Love is not sweating. Are you here, somebody? Fake love and real love are identical twins. Especially at the beginning. I don't know if I said it here the last time I came. I'm a dog lover. But after a while, there was a time I had 17 dogs in my house. 17. I had a few dogs and they all gave litter. They had two puppies. So altogether, we had 17 dogs. I know those dogs, some of them have 8 or 9. So it was many. I'm a dog lover. But after a stage in my life, I stopped buying puppies. I only used to buy adult dogs. Because how many of you have bought puppies? You know, all these puppies, they display on the express. All puppies are cute. Till you take them home, puppy. They're all cute. They all look like they have hair. They look cute. When you take it home and start growing, you find out it's antelope you bought. It's not even dog. The way his mouth is sharp. All puppies are cute. The same way with fake love and real love. At that beginning stage, they are identical twins. They look alike. My children have been disturbing me. My children are still young. Say, Daddy, we want a dog. We want a dog. I say, I've had dog all my life. You don't want dog. The maintenance of dog is too much. They say, Daddy, we want dog. We want dog. So I told one guy that works with us that has dog. I said, bring your dog one day and give them for one day. When they had the dog for one day, and the dog was poo-pooing and peeing all over the house, but now they cleaned the house for one full day. They said, Daddy, we don't want dog. I said, I told you. That's what I'm saying. The excitement of love and the commitment of love are two different things. What people post on social media is the excitement of love. They never show you the commitment of love. Love is not always sweet. Are you here, somebody? Love involves sacrifice, involves patience, involves self-control. So how do you know you are falling in love when you don't even know what love is? Real love and fake love are identical twins. And how do you even know if somebody loves you? I have another book I want to recommend. It's titled How to Know If He or She Really Loves You. It's two books in one. Please get the book to help you. So if somebody is saying I love you, you can check. There's a checklist to know if he really loves you. If a lady is saying she loves you, there's a way to check if she really loves you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When should I start learning about relationships? Now. Where you invest is where you harvest. If you don't read anything about relationships, you can't succeed in relationships. You can't make it in marriage by chance. Number what is the next one? Number four. What's number one again? And what's the answer? Number two is what? What's the answer? Number three is what? What's the answer? Number four. What should I learn about relationships? What kind of things should I learn? I know I should start learning, but where do I start? Good question. Many people think the way to have a good marriage is to read books on marriage. That is just half the truth. Marriage, what makes marriage work is not marriage. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You know what makes marriage work? Learning about your spiritual life makes marriage work. Are you here, somebody? Learning about your financial character and behavior makes marriage work. If you want to have a good marriage, you must read financial books. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Hey, because you will see fight when money matter comes. Some of you think you are good with money. Wait till you marry. You will know you have some very bad financial behaviors. Before I married, I thought I was good with money. When I married, I discovered my financial habits were terrible. I make money big time, but I also spend big time. So when I got married, we were always broke. Not because we're not making money, but as I make it, I spend it. Some of you now, even your parents are still taking care of you, but you are always still overextending your finances. You never save. You never have mastered money. I was like that. But I discovered as I married my wife, she always had money. See, if the money in this world finish, ask my wife, she has. She's a saver. She always has money. So sometimes I'll be broke. I'll need money for something important. I'll say, hey, I need money. She'll say, how much? I'll say, 100K. She'll say, I have. I said, how do you have money in this house? I thought we had finished all the money. She always had money. That's when I started learning that her financial behavior was better than my own. So I had to commit all the family finances to her hand. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So now we have money. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You must start to know what your financial behavior is. Anybody that is always broke, always begging, always borrowing is a financial disaster. Marriage does not cure your behavior. It only exposes it. I say marriage does not what? Cure your behavior. It only what? So what should I learn? Learn what? Spiritual things. Learn what? Financial skills. Learn domestic skills. You have been watching YouTube video of how to find love, how to keep love, how to love love. Please learn how to wash plates. How to wash clothes. Those are the things that will be happening in the marriage. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Learn how to cook. Learn how to sweep. Learn how to lay bed. Oh, is somebody getting what I'm saying? Learn how to change your boxer. Oh, no, no. Why did I do that? No, no. Let me leave that one. Let me leave that one. We're in church. Are you here, somebody? Because those are the things that will irritate you in the household. Glory to God. What should I learn? Learn the differences between a man and a woman. A man and a woman are not the same. This is another one that causes big quarrel in families. Men and women thinking they are the same. Women are trying to love men as if they are women. Men are trying to love women as if they are men. Men and women don't hear the same. They don't love the same. They don't think the same. They don't see the same. Men and women are different. When I first started a relationship with my wife, that's when I began to learn. Men talk for information. Women talk for affection. Women talk to you because they like you. Men talk to you because they have something to say. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Women talk to you because you are somebody important. Men talk to you because there's something important. Oh, somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. Did you get that? So, a woman wants to constantly talk to you if you're important to her. The topic doesn't matter. We can discover the topic as we start talking. But a man will never call if there's no topic. Men don't call themselves just to check up on themselves. They call for information. And once information is over, they cut the call. You say, guy, you get John's number? I say, yes, send them to me. Thank you. Are you here, somebody? So when I enter the relationship with my wife, if I see her on Monday, for instance, and I drop her at the bus stop or her house, and we are planning to see next Monday, I won't call her throughout till next Monday because I'm keeping all my gist. Till next Monday, I don't have gist like that. And that's another thing. Women have more words available to them. Men have few words per day. We don't want to finish our data. It's few. So she will tell me that, you must call me. You can't see me on Monday and wait till next Monday before you talk to me. Call me during the week. I said, I didn't have anything to say. He said, just call me. I said, no problem. Then I just call. I said, hello. He said, hi. I just say, I hail you. She said, you can't hail me. I'm not one of your guys. You can't hail me. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So I began to learn that men and women see life differently. Women enjoy the process. Men like the project. Are you here, somebody? The whole process is interesting to a woman. That's why women don't mind for you to wrap their gift. Because the whole process of unwrapping the gift is interesting. Men, you are wasting our time when you wrap our gift. Who will now unwrap this thing? And this is why, because women are always confused about men. This is why when a man is trying to start a relationship with you, he's calling you regularly. You think he's just talking to you. After a while, once you agree and everything, he will stop talking. Have you noticed women? You find that he's always busy. The reason is simple. The time he was chasing you, you were the project. Once project is complete, we move to the next project. That's how men behave. Because men are project driven. They face one project per time. When they were giving you that attention, you were the project. After you have said yes, project, finish. So they move to the next project. And you see, men talk for information. Women talk for affection, don't forget. So all the while he was talking to you, he was not just talking randomly, he was asking questions. How many are you in your family? What does the elder brother do? He wants to know if you're a liability. Or he's going to use his whole family and be helping your family. He's asking questions. Once he has gathered all the information necessary, he sees no big need to continue talking. So we have to train them to, women like to talk, so keep talking. And for a woman, if he has moved to other project, don't fight, don't compete with a man's work. Instead, find out what his next project in and be involved and interested in it. That way he will keep seeing you. Because every man's first love is their work. Women don't understand that. But every man's first love is what? Their work. The first thing God gave Adam was work. Before he gave me a wife. And every woman's first love is their husband or marriage. The first thing God gave Eve was a relationship. So the first man ever on earth first got a job. That was his first love. The first woman on earth first got a marriage. Is that actually what I'm saying? So men get their sense of identity from work. Women get their sense of identity from marriage. That is why as you grow old, some of you are still young now, but as you grow old, when you do your 10-year reunion in your secondary school or high school or college or whatever, you will see the guys. When they meet, they will first shake you. The first shake is, I don't know who you are. They will shake you. Then you will hear things like, what do you do now? Once the guy said, oh, I'm with Shell, I'm with Chevron, I'm MD so-and-so, I am director so-and-so, they will shake you another shake. My guy, give me your number, give me your card. When women meet 10 years after, 20 years after, the question will be, are you married now? Let me see the picture of your children. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So start to learn those differences. It will give you peace. Number what am I in? Ah, my time is almost over. Number five. How should I prepare for relationship? I've talked about when should I start. I mean, when am I ready? I've talked about with whom should I enter the relationship. I've talked about when should I start learning. I've talked about what should I learn. Number five is how should I prepare. You must prepare for everywhere you are going. If those of you that were here last time, I shared how I did long distance race without preparation. Do you remember? Were you here? Did I share it here? That's when I knew that in life, your supporters don't count if you don't prepare. I had supporters that were shouting, Kinzo, Kinzo, Kinzo. All of us failed. Supporters don't matter. You must prepare. What's one of the areas you must prepare? Prepare in the area of service. That's why if you're in a church like this, you're in a ministry like this, or I don't know which of the centers you came from, you must belong to a service unit. You must be serving. There is nothing that prepared me for a good marriage like service. Because what is love? Love is two people serving themselves. It's not the romance you watch. It's not the flowers. It's not chocolate. It's not Valentine's Day. Real love is what? Service. Real love is sacrifice. Nothing prepared me for marriage like service. Before I became born again, I was a very bad boy. Very, very bad boy before I became born again. Yeah. I used to do all those bad things. I was taking drugs from when I was a teenager. I was carrying a pistol from when I was in secondary school. Yeah. I was that bad. I was that bad. So I now became born again. I served Satan very well. I don't want to give you details because there are some things I can't even be sharing here. But I served Satan very well in doing bad things. So when I now became born again, I made up my mind. I said, if I serve the devil the way I did, now that I'm born again, I'm going to serve God more. So you know what I did? When I joined the church then, I got born again in the church, I joined the church. I made up my mind that if God ever has a need for a volunteer in anything, I will volunteer myself. Because I wanted to serve God well. I had served Satan well. I want to serve God well. So they will come in church and say, we need ushers. I'll volunteer. They will say, we need traffic department. I didn't know how to drive by joy. They say, we need evangelism and follow up. I didn't know how to evangelize them. I joined. The only scripture I knew is John 3:16. And I cram it. You must not interrupt me when I'm preaching to you. If you interrupt me, I have to start again from the beginning.
because I've crammed everything I'm going to say. It doesn't matter whether you're born again or not. Just listen to me. When I finish, you can decide. Then they said, prayer band. I joined. That was a big mistake. Because then, the ministry was in Makurdi. In Makurdi, they have time. You know, in Lagos, for entering bus, whether the bus is going or you are coming down, you are entering, you enter in motion. They don't bus, doesn't stop for you. Bus is moving. Oshodo, Oshodo, they are moving, you enter in motion. When you reach your Oshodo, they won't stop too. You jump down in motion. In Makurdi, if you stop bus on the highway, like they will reverse, enter your house. They have time. So I joined prayer band. I didn't know that they have time. And then I couldn't pray in tongues. Then I was a new believer. I didn't know how to pray in tongues. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. I wasn't praying in tongues. So they will use 1 hour, 2 hours praying in tongues to prepare to start the prayer meeting. I suffered. When you don't pray in tongues and they do long prayer, you know, you'll be using song. You will sing. You will call God all his five names together. Father, Lord, God, Jehovah. Just to spread the time. But so I was joining. They said, choir. Who will join choir? I joined all those departments simultaneously. Because I said anything God needs, I must join. I joined. Because if you're serving thousands of people, serving many people, to serve one person will be easy. It will make money. So I joined choir. So I had choir notes. That's why I always respect choir in any church I go. Because you just came for one service, they had to rehearse these songs they sang. Am I correct? They had to read, so they had to come before you and rehearse. So they always put it, they had notes. I had choir notes. Even though they didn't used to give me mic, I'm among those people that stay at the back. You know those people that stay at the back? You just support with your dance. Nobody's hearing your voice, only you hear your voice. But they gave me notes. Then one day they said our choir leader, the chorus leader, is not coming. Who will lead? Help us lead worship this Sunday. And nobody told me that there's a way and pattern to lead worship. That you're supposed to start with your slower songs and build. I started with my hottest song. Come on, everybody. Everybody was happy that today, not today. Hottest song. I didn't know that if you start with your hottest song, it means there's no higher place to go. So, and every song have lifespan. Nobody warned me. No matter how sweet the song is, after I sing for a while, everybody's tired, you must change. I had already started with the highest song, nowhere to change to. So we're stuck. Master said, your hand. I said, your hand. That's what I need. When choir people are saying your hand or something, it's not Holy Ghost. They are trying to remember their next song. I said, your hand. After about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, it was obvious that your hand is no more your hand. That there's more to this your hand. I said, your hand! After a while, nobody was asking me again. Say, sing your song. I said, your hand! They said, no way. Then somebody from the audience, those days, church has changed now, but those days, people from the audience bring their song from home. And they support you with it, and you must carry it. So somebody supported with the song. Just that the song didn't match the beat. So I was in front dancing without reading. But the point is that service is one of the ways you prepare for marriage. Were you blessed this evening? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your children. Thank you because they are preparing for the journey ahead of them. No one here will crash land. They will fulfill the ministry and the calling and the destiny you have prepared for them. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus.